Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What the hell is wrong?
By Shinny, but the attempted ball back's going to be picked off by Clark Harris. He's up against Dejo Shalaja as Peterborough come forward. Schmodic's into the penalty area and he's finished it as well. Schmodic's with two, both as a result of poor touches from Chop.
Well, John have deserved at least a point here. Can they get one?
Shinny with the free kick. Sends it into the penalty area. So, headed away by Thompson. That's the last opportunity of the game. And Charlton, having taken the lead in the first half with a Connor Washington penalty on 13 minutes. And at that point, largely good value for that lead into the second half. And even up to the hour mark, it looked like it had to be a mistake that allowed Peterborough back into it, and that's what happened, not just once but twice on 65 and 78 minutes respectively, and Schmodic was the beneficiary of both. Mama always told me, save yourself, take a little time and find the right girl. Then again, don't end up on the shelf. Logical advice gets you. So good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview. My name is Louis Mendes and joining me on the pod this week to look back at the defeat against Peterborough at London Road and ahead to Saturday's home game with Swindon Town. First up, we've got Mr. Lewis Catt. How you doing, Lou?
Yeah, I'm okay, mate. Thank you. Are you?
Yeah, not too bad. How are you feeling after the game in midweek?
A bit disappointed, really. I think it was a decent performance up to a certain. It was a difficult game, wasn't it, with the conditions? But a real shame to be ahead for such a long time, and then for it to just sort of fall apart so quickly. But
yeah,
we move on.
Shoot yourself in the foot twice. Unfortunately, that's what's happened. Also joining us on the pod to discuss the two games we will be chatting about, Mr. Benji Cloak. How you doing, Ben?
Yes, Louis, not bad, thank you.
Yeah, are you over Tuesday yet? Looking forward to Saturday.
I guess so. Just disappointing, as Lewis said, frustrating as I think we were probably the better team. Obviously, two sloppy mistakes, but as Jason Pearce says, we go again.
Certainly do, and Jason Pearce, I imagine, will be one player who gets discussed more than most, unfortunately, on this evening's show, because he was part of the mistake that led to the first goal for Peterborough. We just heard like the end of the commentary there from Tel Lewis, and you can hear the frustration. But you know, you summed up very similarly. Like I'm not panicking too much in terms of the performance I saw on Tuesday, because I still thought we looked more cohesive. You know, that was the problem we had a couple of weeks ago. We looked a bit all over the place, but we looked more solid, probably played quite well for the first hour, and then just absolutely shot ourselves in the foot with defensive errors, which unfortunately have been something we've got quite used to over the last few weeks.
Yeah, and it's really disappointing, because as you say there, I thought up until those two mistakes, the game wasn't, you know, it wasn't the most attractive game of football, don't get me wrong, but we held our own against a strong Peterborough side. We dealt with the pitch conditions well. I mean, that was some of the most difficult conditions I've seen, you know. It looked horrendous, but we coped with it, we adapted. We played sort of that sort of nasty, you know, that it was a bit anti-football almost. It was that nasty, gritty game we had to play on there, you know, sort of frustrate them a little bit, because they're so lethal going forward, that front three of Schmodic, Dembele and Clark Harris. We kind of kept them out of the game up until those two mistakes, and then when you shoot yourself in the foot not once but twice against you know, strikers of the quality of Johnson, Clark, Harris, and players of the quality of Sammy Schmodix, then ultimately you are going to get punished. And it's just frustrating for me that these mistakes seem to happen more frequently when we've got two centre halves, you know, two experienced centre halves in the team together. I thought Deji really sort of, you know, he really upped his game at the weekend, filling in difficult circumstances with no real defensive backup behind him. But he did that role well, and we got the point again in quite a scrappy game. You'd only think that that would improve bringing Piercy in as well. But there just seems to be a couple of communication errors. And as Bo said in his post-match, you can't coach that, you know, like you can. The players did everything and they gave everything. You know, I thought it was a really battling performance, but you gift two goals away like that, and ultimately you are going to get punished if you make those mistakes. But we can't dwell on it for too long. You know, the league is congested. We've got to pick ourselves up pretty quickly and go again on Saturday. But yeah, we'll be disappointed, especially after a result on Saturday that I thought would maybe spur us on a little bit. But at least the performance levels were there, and that's the positive that we can take from Tuesday.
Yeah, certainly. There certainly are positives. And like I said earlier, I'm not panicking as much as perhaps I would have a few weeks ago with some of the performances we're putting in, you know, and I feel like we're still sort of in the traveling in the direction we need to, but obviously cutting out mistakes is something that we have to do. We didn't see too many of them against Bristol Rovers, which is why we came away with a first clean sheet in nine. But I mean, the equaliser for Peterborough on Tuesday evening, Benji, it was basic stuff, really, wasn't it? It was a long ball over the top, and it's never a good thing when you see your two centre halves challenging for the same one. Now, looking back at it, you know, I'm guessing you're saying it's probably Deji's man, but there has to be communication between the two of them anyway. In which case, you know, Pierce shouldn't go over to it, but then definitely he has to, between the two of them, at least one of them has to win that header. Otherwise, then we were really just chasing a shadow, trying to get back onto to Smodics there, and he had the most simple of finishes. It's fairly basic stuff, Ben.
It is, and that's why it's massively disappointing for someone like Lee Bowyer managing that side. That's just something you can't coach. Like, these players are experienced players. They know not to let that ball bounce. And it's just simple communication error the way that they've scored. And we know these two players are, well, and Dembele, but they're up there with the best in the league. So you need to be switched on the whole game. No matter how well we'd done up to that point, it was all gone out the window when you make one simple mistake like that by either Deji saying mine or Pierce saying mine. And there you go. Simple punish for it. And obviously we got punished for it again later on, but hugely frustrating, especially, as I said, for Boya, because I think the rest of the game we done well, we dug deep, we dealt with the threat of them three up front. And yeah, it was frustrating. And I said on Sunday, I personally would have kept with the same back four that kept the clean sheet against Bristol Rovers, because believe it or not, that was our first clean sheet in nine games before that. And I just felt the confidence that they brought from that on Saturday against Bristol, whether it be Bristol, and of course you're going into a harder game like Peterborough, but it's just the communication that was dealt with and the way they defended against Bristol. I just felt, keep that going, and maybe save Jason Pearce for the Swindon game when he's maybe a bit more fit. But there you go, one of those things. But we move on and take confidence from a decent overall performance and just try and wipe out the mistakes.
Yeah, obviously the second goal coming from Andrew Shinney's slip that gifted it to Clark Harrison. He played through Sammy Smodix. It started so well for us, actually, Lewis. You know, we got into that early lead. I think it was a clear foul on Jason Pearce. His shirt was being pulled inside the area. Connor Washington, of course, living up to the gag writer's dreams of scoring again in the week as something important was happening in American politics. Cheers, Connor. I thought we looked good value for it. You know, we looked comfortable. Had a couple of chances, a couple of balls. I think one from Bogle went across the face. Start of the second half, we saw one from Smith again across the face of goal. And we saw that massive chance for Gunter where he could have made it 2-0 barely a minute before they equalised. So, you know, it was tight, and it wasn't far away, other than that last 20 minutes with those two mistakes, from being actually a very good away performance. And that's what Lee will have to take now into Saturday. ensure the players understand that they're on this upward trajectory now that we've seen the last few weeks. You know, we've hopefully put some of the worst performances behind us. We are going to lose games between now and the end of the season, even if we play well. That's just the way football goes, unfortunately. And just hope this will be one of those and not a return to, you know, a lack of confidence in the poor form we saw a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you compare the defeat on Tuesday to the one that we had at home to Accrington Stanley a couple of weeks ago, you know, the performances are like polar opposites. You know, I thought that we looked much better. We looked more comfortable. We had to adapt because of the conditions on the pitch. It wasn't a great game. I think if that was played at the Valley or on a better pitch at London Road, then it would have been quite an exciting game because it's two attacking sides that would have, you know, really contested. But ultimately, it was scrappy, but we showed that we've got that side about us. And I thought that we you know, carried ourselves well, especially in the first half. And like you say there, even all the way up to that chance for Gunter, I mean, it's a real kick in the nuts, isn't it, that he didn't put that away. But I think if he'd have put that away, I'd say the game's dead and buried. But it just seems to be typical, you know, our luck at the moment that, you know, barely, as you say, a minute after that, they go up the other end and you have that miscommunication between Deji and Piercy and it's 1-1. And then that sort of gives Peterborough a bit of fire in their bellies, which I thought was lacking up to that point, apart from a few maybe flash chances for Clark Harris and Dembele. And then, you know, then they become in the ascendancy and we look a little bit not for confidence. You know, when we brought Chucks and Ronnie on, obviously, to try and get that second goal. But I think once Peterborough worked out, you know, after they got that goal, they got a little bit of a boost and they were in the ascendancy and they punished us again from that slip from Andrew Shinney, which again, it's unfortunate. It's, you know, it's a mistake that you can't really iron out, you know, a slip's a slip. Maybe he had a little bit, thought he had more time on the ball than he did and panicked and went over. But either way, you can dwell on the mistakes. They've happened now. And the most important thing is what we do to iron those mistakes out of our game. And we've said all season so far, well, for the majority of the season, that lacking the centre-half pairing of Akin Famwo and Ryan Innes has been our Achilles heel at the moment. And I don't think we can disagree with that. You know, getting those guys back is going to be huge for us. And hopefully that's going to be something that can happen in the not-too-distant future. But until then, we have what we have in terms of reinforcements defensively. And we're going to have to work with that. And we're going to have to keep, you know, building up partnerships between Deji and Piercy. We're going to have to try and get that back four communicating better, because ultimately that's the tool that we have at the moment. Unless we're going to bring somebody in, you know, in the next week or so, that's going to back up those reinforcements. But until then, we have to work harder as a back four and get the communication, you know, better, because there are far too many mistakes to count, especially in the last couple of months when we've been on a bit of a barren run ourselves. You know, I think that we have to iron these creases out of our game because they're costing us points. But that's down to Bowyer to do. You know, he's got the tools that he has to work with, and it's down to him to get a tune out of that defence.
Yeah, certainly is. I guess, Ben, when you look at the overall performance against the side, the quality of which Peterborough have, you know, again, you take that as a positive. I mean, we've gone fairly toe-to-toe with a side that's going to be up there top six, certainly at the end of the season. You take that as a positive, especially on that. I mean, I'm not going to blame the pitch at all, but it was a difficult one, a difficult surface that both sides had to work with there. They had a burst pipe at Peterborough a few weeks before Christmas, I think, and that appears to have affected the pitch quite badly. So yeah, when you put it into the context of, you know, playing another team that you're hoping to be in the top six, overall, like I say, I imagine more people came away from that feeling a bit more confident than they did perhaps after we got beaten quite heavily by Accrington or Hull.
Yeah, I agree. I think, well, if you look back at our season so far, we've gone to Ipswich, another promotion hopeful, and beat them 2-0, kept a clean sheet, and we beat Portsmouth away 2-0 and kept a clean sheet there. Okay, in recent weeks we lost to Hull away and that was a disappointing performance, but it was a positive performance. There were chances there where we should have, I think it was doubled our lead when there was a lovely play by Connor and he put through Paul Smith and he was caught in two minds. I'm not sure why, because he was in a good position to shoot And unfortunately, I don't know what he did. He kind of half-crossed it and it went out. So there were chances there. We were making good chances. But as you said, it was a scrappy game because of the pitch. I don't think we could play our passing game that we have done recently where we've scored from. But I felt at times we looked good. I thought Miller looked good again. Martsen tried a few good runs and he tried an early shot, which was positive. But yeah, overall, it was a scrappy game, but one we were on top of until that mistake. So it's definitely a positive we can take. And hopefully on Saturday, I mean, the likes of Chucks can start. I'd like to see Ronnie start as well. And we can have that flexibility a bit more, and playing on a better pitch definitely helps as well.
Yeah, hopefully it will. Right, let's have a listen to what Lee Bowyer made of the performance over at Peterborough. Then I asked the Addicts boss for his thoughts on the game after the full-time whistle.
It was a horrible game to watch. Conditions were horrendous. Pitch not playable. Very scrappy. Became a bit of a battle. And a battle that I thought we was on top. But we was on top, we competed well. And again, mistakes. And we was in full control, like winding up. Everything they threw at us, we done well for the first 45 minutes. Back four, solid. Anything they had any attempts was from distance and didn't trouble Ben at all. So yeah, we was in full control until, again, a simple punt down the middle of the pitch. And then the fella runs through and has a one-on-one. It's not good enough, is it really? Like, I don't know what more I can say about it. But what I will say is that the players, they give me everything. I just walked round after the game, shook everyone's hand and said, look, as a manager, what is important to me is that they just give me 100%. They work their socks off. They compete. Obviously, I want us to play well. And today was not that day. Not on that pitch. But I think Saturday just gone. Bristol Rovers was the same. Like, they worked hard, they gave everything, they moved the ball well, created a lot of chances. Today, they gave everything, but basic mistakes. Easily avoided. And me as a manager, you can't legislate for that. You know, like, I can't. We've been watching videos showing them, like, stay high, be on the front foot, win your headers, compete. Our shape, out of possession, we allowed the right centre-half to have it, so then he's the one stepping in, and then he's just going to try and hit the striker, and we've got two centre-halves against one striker, who's a very, very physical striker. In the first 45 minutes, I think we dealt with everything, right up until the goal. That's why they changed shape, but it wasn't the shape that hurts. It was just something basic. Just a long punch straight through in the middle of the pitch. Mix up with the two centre-halves and then they have a fella running through. So, Jacko obviously showing them clips. Jacko works with the back four. Works hard with the back four. Showing them clips after clips after clips. And we've been... Jacko just said after the game that you have to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. Because when you show clips, which we've been doing, and you work on the training pitch, and you show them, then they have to then make it happen on a match day. But they're things that we can't control, unfortunately. We can't control that. We can put them in the right place. It comes down to individual decisions. But taking the couple of mistakes that they scored from, I thought we were very good. Very good. Full control of the game. Full control. So, very disappointing. Very.
Force Cassidy swings it towards the far post. Innes jumps, heads down, Bogle touchdown, Prep! Hey! Smacks it in! And Charlton take the lead. That's a really well-worked corner. Innes with the head down, Bogle touches it. And Darren Prattley, the substitute, just smacks it into the roof of the net. Just say to Rob, leave him behind. A little boy, Stella, who
said I hate people like you. I got matchsticks and cable TV. Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. We're looking at the defeat at Peterborough. Unfortunately, we just heard from the Addicts boss, Lee Bowyer, there. Yeah, you could hear his frustration, Lewis, and you can understand, because you must be tearing your hair out when you're the manager and you've got them into a shape. You found them, you know, looking a bit more solid again, and all of a sudden your centre halves make a mistake like that, and then Andrew Shinney, who've been desperate to get back into the team, slips over on the muddy pitch as well. He must be so frustrating for Bow.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like you said there, and he said in his post-match that as a manager, you can get them in the system and you can only do so much, but you can't coach those mistakes out of people, and you can't really, sometimes if the luck's against you, you can't really help that. And with Shinney, that's an unfortunate slip, isn't it? I don't really know if that's as much a mistake as it is just unfortunate, but definitely with Deji and Piercy, you know, you're expecting them to do better there. One of them to go for the ball and try and win the header, and the other one to keep company with Sammy Schmolix to make sure he doesn't make that run in. But ultimately, they both go for the ball and they go clean through. And like Bo says, you can't sort of account for that. You get them in a shape, and that shape I thought was working well up until they scored. I thought that Prattley coming back in and playing in the midfield in front of the back four, I thought he had a decent game, Prattley. I thought it was like the Prattley of old. You know, he'd come under a bit of criticism recently playing in the back four. So to see him back in a more comfortable position for him, I thought he did well. I thought he frustrated Peterborough's key players in the middle. You know, he gave away some silly fouls to break up play. But sometimes you need that, especially in a scrappy game like that. And the system was working, and it's two mistakes, isn't it? You take those two things out of it and we're coming away with an incredibly impressive point against a good side. But we can't dwell. We do have to move on, and we're going to need a big performance again Saturday, because the last time we went to Swindon, we weren't that great. So to have them at home, and as Benji says, playing at the Valley on better pitch conditions where we can play our game. Your Chucks is ever so slightly rested as well, so he might be able to get some game time from the off. There's positives, and I think that, as you've said earlier and we've touched on, the performance itself was a positive if you take away the mistakes, and we need to use that positivity going into Saturday to try and get the win at home and then try and build a run. And as Bo says, we've got to try and build a run now if we're going to try and catch up with the pack, that especially the autos, you know, they're quite a way clear now, and we've kind of played a few more games, I think, from memory. I think maybe some teams in that top six have got two games in hand over us. So we can't control that, but we just need to try and keep winning the games ahead of us.
Right, let's have a look at some of the tweets and emails that have come in then since the game against Peterborough. Some of them looking ahead, of course, to Swindon as well. Right, Steve Richard says, it was a miserable game and result against Peterborough. They have the clear advantage of being used to playing on a cabbage patch every other week, but disappointing to see both mistakes punished clinically by goals. The main disappointment was the lack of chances created once we went behind. The subs made no real difference. The only plus side is we don't have to watch half of our games being played on a ploughed field. Yeah, the pitch obviously coming up there, but agree certainly with Steve about the subs didn't really make a difference. You expect a bit more actually from Chooks and the likes of Ronnie coming on, but it wasn't really their game, and Peterborough saw it out quite comfortably in the end. Right, Phil says, hi guys, yet another disappointing result, although the performance wasn't that bad. Looked the better side for the majority of the game, but another defensive error almost identical to the first goal against Accrington, would I suggest, indicate that Pearce and Oshilaja don't have the best understanding at centre-half. Both left the first ball to bounce, and then both attacking the bouncing ball and effectively taking each other out. Phil, after the solid performance on Saturday, we should have left the back four as was and had Pearce on the bench. Yeah, I certainly agree with that. That lack of communication probably doesn't help when we've had to change the defence so much. Field carries on. Also noticeable that we lost a bit of bite in midfield when Jake was substituted. Prattley kept going, but we need two players attacking and winning the ball in midfield. Had Gunter jumped to get over the ball for the chance that fell his way, we would have come away with all 3 points as their attack as a result directly from that chance gave them the momentum and took the game away from us. We must get these decisions right for the rest of the season, otherwise we will end up mid-table, and we have certainly got a squad together, albeit under difficult circumstances, worthy of challenging for any position in the top six. That's from Mr. Phil. Cheers for that, Phil. Right, Mike says salary cap woes, and we're gonna talk about the transfer window in a moment. Hear from Lee Bowyer on that. But Mike says that just a thought. I hate this salary cap. I get tired of supporters moaning that our players make errors. Let's face it. If we are only allowed lower cost, hence lower quality players because of the cap, we will see mistakes. If the players we have don't make any mistakes, they'll go up the leagues almost instantly looking for more wages. With the cap, we will see mistakes. No point moaning or crucifying players as that just downs confidence. Just how good the players we have are available are for us. I think that as supporters, we have to accept an amount of mistakes while the cap exists and look for ways to get over the inevitable cock-ups. Rant over. That's from...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mike. That's from Mike Harrington. Mike Bramley says, on Saturday, we've got to get back to winning ways as soon as possible, Louis. Chucks must make a start on Saturday. We must be positive. I know the pitch was bad the other night, but some of our players looked like they were running in treacle. Love the result, by the way. Whatever the result, you can always rely on you guys to make us laugh. Love the show. That's from Mike. Cheers for that. Mike, last email. So this one's from Steve, and I'm going to share the picture on the Charlton Live Twitter. Because it's a good bit of work here from Steve. It says, hi, Charlton Live. Sorry to waste your time. No, Steve, we waste everyone else's time all the time, so you're more than welcome. But I have attached a picture of a garden statue that I got as a Christmas present. It was blank, of course, so during lockdown, I've decided to give him a quick lick of paint. What do you think? Steve's painted this in a full Charlton kit, which is very nice, and a couple of extra touches as well. I've added a couple of little nods to our saviour, as you can see, and I've made him number 29. So yeah, he's got a Danish flag on his shorts and Thomas Sangar's initials on a football as well. So excellent work there from Steve. As Roddy Swartz is our last signing, that's why he's number 29. I was going to make him a defender, seeing as most of them are playing like statues at the moment. Only joking. Really enjoy Charlton Live. Win, lose or draw, I get no greater pleasure than supporting our great club. That's from Steve Hearn, and I'll share that picture on the Charlton Twitter after the show. You'll be able to see it now by the time this has gone out. Yeah, cheers for that, Steve. Excellent work. Couple of tweets as well before we turn our attention to the transfer window. Craig says, I thought Prattley pretty much ran the game on Tuesday. Keeping him in the midfield would excuse selecting Pearce again. 3 stinkers in a row. Overall, not a bad performance. Certainly didn't deserve to lose. Posh dominating the last 20 with a sign of a Charlton low on confidence. Man in Pants says, my lucky pants resembled the pitch by the 90th minute. In fact, the only place more toxic than my undies is the hashtag CAFC after a loss. We have to remember our friends at Wigan and be glad of the Danish medical musician. Keep building, we're still a club. Ben Carter says Jason Pearce needs a coat and a clipboard as soon as possible. One season too many for him, I'm afraid. Similar Message there from Redmond, who says, Pierce, it's time to hang it up. Cost us too many goals since returning. I think we're unlucky, but Gunter has to score and it's game over. We go again up the Reds. And Michael says, two mistakes cost us against the team. A lot of us thought we'd get done by it. Disappointing, but there were some encouraging signs of Bowyer ball. Looking forward to Swindon for some reason. Probably get done again. Yeah, I agree with a lot of the sentiment, a lot of the tweets tonight about, you know, we weren't that far off, actually, you know. So we'll take that as a positive. Ben, a couple of people there, you know, speaking about Piercy, your views on that. I mean, a couple are saying he may even have gone a little bit too far now. I mean, he certainly needs to get back to the form we've seen him put in a Charlton shirt a few years ago.
Yeah, I have to say, I agree with some of the tweets. It's just the last three games he's played in, he's made mistakes. And whereas Deji's come in and Deji's done really well. So, well, obviously, they both kind of messed up for that goal. But Deji, I've been really impressed with him since he's come in. And you just think if those mistakes... our hands are tied at the moment with the injuries to Famwell and Innes. But our last two clean sheets came from Gunter at centre-back and Matthews at right-back and another centre-back. So if it comes down to resorting back to that, then I think we should go for it because it just seems like he's a bit out of sorts and these mistakes keep happening with him in the team.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Right, on Tuesday now, anyone who listened to the post-match, the full post-match press conference, would have heard Bowyer talking about his frustration that the Addicts were unable to get a signing over the line before the game against the Posh. He wanted to bring a player in that would have started against Peterborough United. And he said he was frustrated and that Charlton moved too slowly as a club. I tried to push him on the reasoning. And again, if you want to hear the full interview, it's on Valley Pass. I won't use that today because we've got loads of stuff to squeeze in. But he said he didn't want to go into it. But again, he just sort of reiterated that we as a club, he felt, didn't act quickly enough. So some frustration there from Bowyer. Oh, yeah, but he was asked today in press day if he was still hopeful of getting one over the line shortly.
Yeah, I believe that we'll bring someone in before Saturday. I believe that's going to happen. So that's going to make us stronger. The player that we're looking to bring in is going to make us stronger. And before the end of the window, we all recognise, like we're having Zoom calls all the time with the owner, myself, Steve and Jed. And we all recognise that we need to strengthen in all areas. So, yeah, we're working hard, Terry, but it's difficult. I don't want to keep rambling on but about his bloody cap, but it's difficult. What amazes me is that other clubs that voted for this cap seem to have more money to spend than what we do. Makes absolutely no sense to me. How teams can vote for a cap and then being able to offer stupid money for players that we have nowhere near. This cap is just a waste of time. So, yeah, it's frustrating, but all we can do is concentrate on what we're doing, and that's what we're doing. We're working hard behind the scenes every day to try and improve our squad because we have to try and close the gap. We have to. We want to be successful and we want to get out of this division. We have to try and close the gap the best we can and then work with the hand we've dealt, and that's what we're doing.
There we go. So Lee Bowyer says he is hoping now that we're going to get something done before the game against Swindon on Saturday. It's a bit of a mystery as to who it is at the moment. I think, you know, hopefully by the time this goes out, people will start to find out, or, you know, on Friday, if Bowyer gets his wish and this signing is over the line. Did you find the comment? I don't know if you found the comments on Thursday interesting, Lewis, the fact he was showing frustration. Do you think it just didn't help that there was a bad result, that it was coming off the back of the question, I guess? But, you know, he felt a little hard done by, didn't he, Bo?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's hard to read into it, isn't it? Because you don't know, we don't know the identity of this player. So you don't know where he would have, if he'd have started, where he would have started. You know, do you assume that it's a defender and he might have come into that back line? And is he then thinking the mistakes may not have happened? Or would they come into the midfield? Like, there's so many possibilities. You don't really know. But I did find it a bit of a strange comment, you know, about the club not moving quick enough. But I think, like you say, it's a bit of frustration maybe that he thought that player would have come in and made a bit of a difference. And as you've said there, coming off the back of a defeat, naturally, you're going to be frustrated. So hopefully we get some bodies in before Swindon, or this player in before Swindon. I'm interested to see who it is, especially if they would have come in and started straight away on Tuesday. It assumes they're a player of quite high quality. I know he's distanced the rumours today about Offerbor at Bournemouth. That's sort of been, put to bed a little bit. So that was the person I had in my head. So it'll be interesting to see who it is, and if we can get him in before Saturday, then great.
Yeah, and like I say, hopefully we'll find out before Saturday. I mean, Bo talked about on during the week, Ben, about, you know, realistically we need improvements in all areas, and I don't think many people would disagree with that. We'll hear the fitness news for like Akin Fainwe, you know, hopefully not too far away, and Ryan Innes a bit further. But, you know, centre halves is still one that a lot of people have highlighted. I mean, what would you say is your absolute most important position to fill, Ben, between now and Saturday? If you could pick one area to strengthen between now and the weekend, which one would you go for?
Definitely centre half for me, as you just said. I think that's the area. We look good when we're attacking, and look, the last few games we have scored quite a few goals, and we're making chances happen. Okay, Peterborough was a penalty, but and the rough pitch, but definitely a centre half, an experienced one, I think, just to come in and shore us up. I heard that before we were interested in a Stoke centre half. Was it Lindsay? Used to play for Barnsley, so I wonder if it was someone like him. Now Lapsley's gone, and seems like Rich said that Doughty's just about to leave as well. This might free up some wages for him, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I did see that rumor about Lindsay on Twitter. I don't know if that ever actually got sort of clarified by anyone who would know better than Twitter as to whether we'd actually be in for him, especially how would that work under the cap. Of course, I don't know how old he is, but not certain if that's one that we're looking for or not. Now, a player who has had a transfer gone through this week, sadly, George Lapsley has left the club. Gone to Mansfield now permanently, been with the club for 11 years, I think, you know, an absolute brilliant character, and a player who gave his absolute all on the pitch as well. I'm sad to see him go. Lee Bay was asked why the midfielder was allowed to move on at this time.
It's his time, Terry, to move on, you know, and 23 years old, he has to be going to play regular football. He has to. He's a great lad. No one wanted to see him go, but even George said himself, it's time for me to now go and spread my wings. Like that, those were his words. And we all agreed, like, go and play regular first team football. And that's what he's done at Mansfield. He's kick-started his career, if you like. And sometimes you have to take a step back to go forward. And George has done that. So he's been great. Like every time he trained and played for me, gives you 100%, he called off the pitch. So it's been a credit to himself and to the football club. So obviously I wish George all the best. He's a great lad. And he will go on. He'll go on and do well.
Oh, such a shame, isn't it, to see see Lapo go now, Lewis. But I guess, you know, as Bo said, he needs to be out there playing consistently. And obviously he wasn't doing that here. And he's making a name for himself at Mansfield Town. Sometimes you need to drop a division or two to go and, you know, kickstart your career, and that's looks like that's what he's already done, you know, in so far in his loan move there.
Yeah, you do. I mean, I'm the same as you. I'm really gutted to see him go. I think that, you know, at the start of the season when all these midfield options started appearing, I did think that maybe a loan was the right thing for him, and that it's proved to be correct because he's gone to Mansfield and he's performed incredibly well. They've had a real turnaround in form with Nigel Clough as well. So it's good experience for him. I'm a little bit disappointed that we've let him go. I think a season loan I'd have been happy with, but I thought he still had some, you know, some unfinished business here. And I think he, especially at the moment when we had all those, you know, injuries in the midfield and everything, and the frustrating, maybe the performances of Alex Gilby that have been criticised recently and stuff like that, I do think that he could have come in and done a job, but ultimately he needs, you know, long term and consistent game time, which here he wasn't going to get with all of these options. So, you know, I'll miss him because I think he was a great player for us. You know, he gave everything in every game. He's a Charlton fan at heart. His breakthrough season in League One, I thought he performed really well, and there were performances in the Championship last year where I thought he looked more than comfortable at that level. So, you know, I wish him all the best going to Mansfield, and hopefully it proves to be a good move for him and he gets the football he needs. And as you said there, sometimes you do have to take the drop down a division. And I look at Carlin Grant as an example of that when he was with us and we loaned him out to Crawley, you know, two divisions down from where we were at the time, I think. And one season. We were in League One. One division below. But he performed well. And then when he came back, he had a standout season with us and got his move in January to the Prem. So it's ultimately, you know, it is our loss because I think that having a player that sort of, you know, wears his heart on his sleeve and is a Charlton fan, it's that sort of passion you get. But, you know, ultimately his development as a footballer is more important and his career and going somewhere where he's going to start consistently and build. You know, there's no guarantee he's going to be at that level forever. It might, like you say, it could be just be a season down there and he could be getting a move to someone in League One or in the Championship even. So, yeah, I wish him all the best and I think he'll be a real player for Mansfield and they're very lucky to have him.
Would you have kept him on, Ben?
I actually agree. Well, not that it's a surprise, but I agree with Lewis. I think when we got promoted to the Championship, I think it just came too soon for players like him and Albie Morgan. Not saying I don't want to get promoted to the Championship, but at that time, I think if we were still in League One, you would have seen them get more game time. That leap was just too soon for them. And I think, as Lewis said, I think we might regret it. I think it's refreshing to see a player like him that's saying, I want to play football. Am I going to play football here at Charlton? No, you'll probably be on the bench now and then, and you'll start when Prattley or Watson or someone's injured. Well, I'm 23 now. I want to play some games. Mansfield are offering me that. I'm going to go there and express myself and play some games. It's refreshing to see that in the game. You see a lot of players just happy to sit on the bench and play now and then. So, as Lewis said, I wish him all the best. I hope that we don't come to regret that so much. But I do hope that he goes on to have a good career. Because he's given it all playing for us. And my favourite memories, Luton away. Do you remember when Solly scored that volley in the last minute? I remember just before that we got a corner. He jumped into the Luton fans, got the ball because they were holding it back, trying to time waste. We got the corner scored and he just ran over there, cupping his ears, giving it to him. That was brilliant seeing photos of that.
Yeah, that was absolute classic. Finally, I think Alfie Doughty's moved to Stoke. It still hasn't been confirmed at the time of recording, but I think that's expected to go through very soon as well. So it's good luck to Alfie. It's a shame now he's not going to be loaned back. It did seem like an interesting one because we don't know how long his injury was going to take to clear up, but now it sounds like his injury isn't going to clear up in time, so he is not going to be loaned back. So best of luck to Alfie as well. Again, it's another one we spoke about it on a pod I think last week or a couple of weeks ago. It's just the way it goes, unfortunately, with young players at the moment. You can get more money elsewhere. That's the way it is, unfortunately. Right, let's have a quick break. When we come back, we'll start to look ahead properly to the home game with Swindon Town.
Penicum once again say it does, ball across goal. Williams! Yeah! Johnny Williams scores his first Charlton goal. It's a brilliant well-worked move from Charlton. Foss Caskey, the ball to the far post of Marston, who did extremely well to get on the end of it. Ball across goal, and there's Williams to score. A man who's in goal scoring form at the moment. One for Wales last month. His first for Charlton this month. And what a moment.
Charlton Live,
Right, welcome back to the last part of this week's Charlton Live, the big match preview. Swindon Town coming to the Valley on Saturday. Not that long since we played them, really. Just before Christmas, wasn't it? The 2-2 draw where we came from behind. We're leading 2-1 going into the last few minutes. And then Brett Pittman header from a corner denied us all 3 points. A very frustrating game. That was over at Swindon a few weeks ago, and Lee Bay was asked to look ahead to that one today. First of all, though, he was asked, as always, in terms of fitness, after that game on the potato patch at London Road on Tuesday, did anyone pick up a knock during that one against Posh?
No, all good. Everyone's come through okay. So injuries, we've got Ben Watson, he's back training today with the group. Obviously, Al be back from suspension. So, Atkins at side again today, running and twisting and turning. So yeah, but Ben Watson's back in. So, that's another body to the group.
Yes, and Andrew Shinney was back Tuesday night as well. That just leaves what Marcus, Atkin and Ryan, I think, isn't it, for the long term, or medium to long?
Yeah, that's it.
Slowly, the jigsaw pieces are coming back. With Atkin especially, not necessarily Ryan, but Atkin especially. Did you have to think hard about that? Bearing in mind, you know, length of time he was out, and Ryan, and you know, centre backs positions thin on the ground. Did you have to think hard about whether to be a bit ruthless in that respect?
Yeah, obviously that's something that I've been thinking about, and I still am. So that's something we have to address, I think. But obviously, Atkin's coming back now. He's not going to be far away. We're hoping he's going to be back training with us this time next week. So Portsmouth probably be too soon to just chuck him in, but he'd be in and around it, which is the most important thing. Still got a lot of games to go, Terry. So hopefully he comes through these next few days before he comes back to us next week. And then that will strengthen the squad.
Saturday, Swindon at the Valley. There's a manner of the last minute equaliser there, down at there just for Christmas. Still wrangle a bit, and you want to put that right this time.
Yeah. We obviously that was disappointing. Again, another game that we was in control. Set piece at the end, and then they nick a little. That Pittman does what he does. You always have to watch him because that's what he does. He scores goals from nothing. So, again, if we do things right and we play the way we have done and compete the way we have done in the last 2.5 games, then I expect us to win. But it's not easy. They've had some good results of late as well. So, since the new manager went in there, he's turned the corner for them because they were struggling before that. But most important thing, I think, if we do the right things, we just have to concentrate on what we do.
There we go. Good to hear that everyone came through the game against Peterborough well. And obviously, Boyart out for a bit of revenge after that late goal from Brett Pittman at the County Ground. Interesting one, Lewis. And, you know, I mean, looking at our team news first, you know, I mean, I think it was Ben who mentioned it earlier, that the likes of Ronnie and Chuksunike, will they be... They'll be up for starts now, I'm guessing, because they, you know, came off the bench, hopefully a better pitch. Schwartz's fitness will be picking up again. You know, there's certain. I think we must be getting a little bit closer to seeing Ronnie start, and obviously we've seen Chucks do it a few times now, so we could be leading the line with quite a strong couple of strikers from the start if Bayard decides to go that way.
Yeah, I think it's something I'd like to see. I do think Washington had a good game on Tuesday. And to be honest, I think in every game that Connor's played, I've been impressed with him. So if maybe Ronnie isn't ready to start yet, then Chucks, I definitely imagine coming back in. You know, not to say Omar had a bad game Tuesday, because I actually thought that it was one of his better performances. I thought he looked lively and stuff. But Chucks is our main man, isn't he, at the moment? And his goal conversion rate is the best in the division. He looks much sharper. We've seen him come through, 90 minutes and stuff, which is something we haven't seen him do yet. So it feels like his fitness is building. And whilst we still have to be careful with him, I'd like to see him come in from the start, because it's pretty obvious what he brings to our team. And with Ronnie as well, it was the partnership looked great when they're together. I mean, I don't count Tuesday because I think Posh were in the ascendancy when they came on. But in the other games, they've looked really sharp when they've been together. But one interesting thing for me, I think, will be what happens in midfield because of, I think it's, you know, mentioned today, Bo mentioned about, you know, Ben Watson is back training. Shinny's obviously come back in as well. Albie's suspension's up. And what that might mean for, you know, maybe resting the likes of Jake Forster-Caskey, who's had injury problems himself and fitness issues over the years, whether I thought maybe after playing on that pitch Tuesday, maybe Jake might come out and have a rest and maybe Albie will go in with either, you know, Shinny or Prattley or Watson. You know, there's more options in that midfield now as well. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Jake did get rested, actually, because I think, you know, he's looked so good and really back to his former self, you know, the Jake that we saw before his injury, which is great to see because it's come to the end of a couple of seasons and I've been worried that we may let him go. So the fact that he's, you know, he's extended when we needed him to in the summer this time around and we've given him a deal when maybe he's needed us, I'm glad because I think it's paying off for both parties and it's great to see Jake back to his best. But I want to be careful with him. I think maybe he could come out on Saturday and with the likes of Shinny in that bat now, you can probably afford to take Jake out and just ensure that he doesn't, you know, pick up any niggles as he goes and set himself back.
Now, I mean, obviously we've seen the issues we've had at centre-half, Ben. Do you make changes? Do you bring Gunter back into that centre-half role? Do you drop one of Pearce or Oshalaja? It'd be quite the statement if you drop an actual centre-half for someone who is not really a natural in that position. I think some of the fans, certainly we had in the tweets earlier, were calling for that. Do you think that's a decision Lee Bowyer might be tempted into?
As I say, said earlier, I'd be tempted to because I was quite surprised looking back to see our last two clean sheets was Gunter at centre-back with either Famwo or Innes or Prattley, I think it was one game. So I would be tempted. Look, it can be done. You can get a clean sheet with Gunter at centre-back and Matthews at right-back. And Deji, as I said, has been playing well of late. But, of course, then you look at Pearce, is your captain as well, isn't he? So it's a hard decision to make. Or maybe he might put Darren Prattley at centre-back and push Albion back in the middle with Jake. I'm not sure. But there needs to be a reaction. There needs to be a clean sheet, in my opinion, to kind of let's go on a run now and get some wins going because we can't keep coming onto this show on the weekends and saying, oh, yeah, that was a frustrating game, 3 points we should have got. It's becoming the usual thing we keep saying now. So we need to, I think we need to attack from the off, go with an attack inside, which look, Bowyer has done recently. He has put that out there and I'd go with Ronnie and Chucks up front and I'd hear what Lewis is saying about JFC, but I'd play him again. It's good for him to have that regular game time. He seems like he's benefiting from that at the moment. And I'd like to see Albie come back in the middle. I think, obviously, it was a bit of an unfortunate red card he got and he's learnt from that and he had been playing well up to then. So, yeah, to attack from the off, got to get 3 points, really, shouldn't we?
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, certainly against the Swindon side, who've only picked up two results, so a draw against us and a win away at Ipswich, which is quite worrying in the last six or seven games there. You have to target a game against the likes of Swindon, Lewis, as 3 points. You know, and that's not disrespecting Swindon. They gave us a very good game at the county ground beforehand. But, I mean, this, you know, if we're realistic about getting into this top six, this is what we... You know, we have to be aiming for these home games and starting to put in performances and results.
Yeah, we do, especially at home. You know, we've got to make the Valley a bit of a fortress. We've had some disappointing results at home of late, so we'll want to turn that around. And as you say, no disrespect to Swindon, but, you know, they're down there and they gave us a great, you know, great game at the county ground back in December. But, you know, Burton are down there as well. They gave us a great game. So... I don't really read too much into the league positions because we seem to really, you know, struggle against the sides down the bottom. You know, I mean, Rochdale are down there and Bristol Rovers, we beat them, but it wasn't really a whitewash. You know, Swindon, Burton, as I've said, Shrewsbury, they're all in that bottom half, and they've probably been our poorer performances. And strangely for us, some of our better performances this season have come against, you know, the likes of Portsmouth and Peterborough and sides that are up at the upper end of the table. So at home, I expect us to, you know, go out and win these sorts of games. And, you know, one win at the moment, it's so tight in that top six. You know, one win could take us up into fourth, you know, depending on goals. But we need to try and regain some ground on that, on the people above, because, you know, Doncaster have got 3 games in hand over us, and Peterborough, Portsmouth, Lincoln have all played 21. Hull have played 22. We played 23. You know, there's no guarantee that they're going to win these games, because we were in that position ourselves a couple of months ago and we didn't take advantage of it. So we need to do what, you know, what we can control from our side, which is winning the games to keep up. And we also need to maybe hope that some of the games that they've had postponed and stuff, and the fixture cramming that they're going to have by catching up with these fixtures is maybe going to play in our favour, and their performances aren't going to be at the heights that they have been. You know, Hull and Lincoln especially have been really, really impressive this season. So you never know if they've got to play catch up and they're cramming these games in, hopefully a bit of fatigue for those sides will pay in our favour and we can catch up.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's have a look towards some predictions for the game then. The Alex taking on Swindon Town. Benji, how do you see this one going?
Hopefully, if Ronnie and Chuck start, Miller on one side, maybe Washington or Williams on the other, I'm going to go 3-1 Charlton.
Lovely. Yeah, we haven't spoken too much about Miller, really, but he has certainly brought something extra to us. And Lewis, which way do you see this one going?
Do you know what? I'm gonna bet at Benji's ever so slightly. I'm going to go 3-0 and say that we react with a clean sheet.
Oh, that'd be nice, yeah, because that's certainly something we need. Right, we've come to the end of this week's Charlton Live Big Match Preview. Thanks to all of you who've listened. Don't forget, we'll be back on Sunday to look back at the game against Swindon. And ahead, I think we've got another game next midweek, I think, at Milton Keynes. Another one I'll have to be watching from home. I had to watch the game from home on Tuesday and did my Radio London updates basically in through the same microphone I'm speaking through now. It's very strange, off the stream. But yeah, I'll be doing that again next week. So thanks to all of you who've listened. Thanks to Benji and to Lewis for joining me on this week's Big Match Preview.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, guys. I've been Louis Mendes. Hopefully by the time you hear this, we might have signed someone, but we'll see. But yeah, hope you've enjoyed it, and we'll see you again on Sunday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.